Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Melissa Giragrant, and you are listening to Why Are People Into That?
You're listening to episode 22 of Why Are People Into That? A podcast for the sexual underground. I'm your host, Tina Horn, and my incredible sponsors today and every day are Smitten Kitten, the sex toy store for everybody. Visit smittenkittenonline.com to find feminist porn, powerful vibrators, brilliant erotica, and the best customer service you could ever hope for while trying to pick out the right lube. A little business up top, you may have noticed that I've been releasing episodes less frequently of late. The good news is that I have been very busy writing a book for Quiver Press about the etiquette of sexting. The bad news is that I subsequently only have had time to produce one podcast a month. I hope eventually to make them as often as once a week, but for the moment, I'm just gonna make the best goddamn episodes I can and hope that you savor every bite. I've been getting a lot of great feedback lately on social media and on sites like Autostraddle, and I wanna keep that coming. If you like the show, give me a shout on Twitter at Tina Horn's Ass or at Into That Podcast. Ask me anything by emailing Tina Horn at whyarepeopleintothat.com, and I may even answer you on the show. Today's guest is iconoclastic pornographer Nikki Silver, the creator of NaughtyNatural.com and an icon of hairy femininity. I wrote an essay for Silver's photography book, Unshaven, which comes out in June of this year. This episode captures one of the many conversations we've been having recently about overgrown bushes and armpit smells, as well as the assumptions that people make when they see that we don't shave. So put on your hiking boots and throw away your razor, for why are people into hair?
Hello.
Thanks for having me in. You have one of the most impressive four-poster princess beds that
thank you.
Of all the four-poster princess beds I've ever napped in.
How many have you napped in?
I haven't been keeping count, but I can definitely tell you that yours is my favorite.
Thank you. I love my bed very much. It's yeah. My cat and most everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, you're living the dream. I'm so glad that you agreed to spontaneously podcast with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, we just had a meeting.
Yeah, we just had a meeting and I was trying not to overplan, but then I looked at you and I looked at the time and I said,
we can do this.
I could take a break, but breaks are for dead people.
Break when you're dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Now's the time for living.
Yeah, exactly. And gathering content. And it's not every day that I have the opportunity to talk with the esteemed Nikki Silver.
Well, at least in person.
At least, right, exactly. So today, let's cut to the fucking chase, right?
All right.
Today we're going to talk about why are people into, let's just say, hair. Why are people into hair? The reason that we would do not hair the musical.
That's pretty good too.
Although that I have questions about that. About why are people into that? But the reason that I want to ask you why are people into hair, particularly body hair,
particularly body hair on female bodies, is that you are the proprietress, entrepreneur, rest
queen.
Queen. Queen. I prefer queen. Is that what it says in your text forms?
No.
No. Of an amazing website called Naughty Natural. And you are, so you're a porn maker and model, an entrepreneur, and you also are releasing your first photo book next year.
I am.
Of images from your website or in the spirit of your website. So tell us a little bit about what Naughty Natural, the website, and Unshaven, the book are all about, Nikki Silver.
All right. Well, Naughty Natural is a website I started because I had been a hairy model for other hairy sites for a few years, and I was getting really sick of working for other people, especially working for larger companies run by men who often, you know, were sexist in various kinds of normal ways and exceptional ways and just all the things.
Just your ordinary run-of-the-mill bullshit you're used to dealing with.
Yeah, and I just got sick of these people I didn't really respect or like very much making money off of me and the models I was shooting, who I was like, you know, my favorite thing about all of it was shooting the models.
So you were both modeling for several hairy sites,
mm-hmm.
And you were also working behind the scenes for those companies
as
well,
shooting
right?
content for them.
Yeah.
And shooting for content for them... on a, like, a content producer basis, which means, like, not showing up to a studio hired by them, like, they supply everything, like, meaning, like, I found the talent, I set up the shoots, I direct the shoots, I deliver the content. So, basically, doing everything.
Yeah.
And feeling, like, not proprietary over the models or the content, but that, like, without me and without the models, that the content wouldn't exist. And therefore feeling resentful towards the companies, both on the model's behalf and my own, that our labor was going towards basically increasing the wealth of people that I didn't respect and I didn't feel respected me.
Absolutely.
So
fuck that.
Yeah.
Smash it.
Smash him. Yeah.
Or just fucking build your own thing. So
that's what I did.
So tell me a little bit about... how did you discover the world of hairy porn as a niche fetish sector of the porn industry?
I basically found it because I had been doing adult modeling and porn work shaven, but I had to shave to do it.
Yeah.
And before that, I didn't shave at all. Like, I never have liked to shave.
Yeah.
And I, and then I found a gig online that, didn't need you to shave. So I pursued that. And then through that found out about one of the bigger hairy sites. And then, you know, my sets did really well. And then I shot more for them. And then I kind of started realizing I could just do porn as a hairy person.
Yeah.
I mean, not make too much money because the sites are kind of like limited.
Yeah.
It's not the same as if you shave, but I was, you know, doing it rather limitedly at the time and, like, traveling around and doing activist projects and stuff, so I didn't need a ton of money or didn't need to be working all the time. So it worked out for me for a few years.
And so it seems like you started to become involved in the kind of porn where it wasn't just, oh, you just happened to show up and you... hadn't shaved. It was that people were specifically looking for
specifically hairy niche sites.
Yeah.
Specifically women who were either hairier than your normal woman, which I guess I am slightly, or just are completely unshaven, untrimmed, and a huge focus on armpit hair, huge focus on pussy hair, huge focus on leg hair.
Mm-hmm.
Or really any, just any body hair at all.
It does seem like those are kind of the three...
But those are the three sites of...
Yeah, what are some other parts of the body?
Oh, there's so many.
Interested
toes. Toes, arms. Like when women have like thick arm hair, I always take lots of pictures of that. A little upper lip, mustache, nipple hairs. I have really long nipple hairs. Treasure Trail.
That's but, like the hair between the belly button and the, pubic, and the pubic hair. Yeah. Right, right.
So those are the main ones that people tend to have. But
what
then,
about asshole
hair? Oh, yeah, asshole hair. That's kind of connected to pussy hair.
But
ass hair. And even just, like, I take a lot of pictures now of, like, when women have, like the women that have lighter hair. Mm. Sometimes it's hard to see, so what I'll do is I'll backlight it. Mm. So you can just see the fuzz from the back of the, like, the sun coming through the fuzz on their legs and stuff. Because there's actually quite a lot of blonde women that have a lot of hair, but it's very soft and very light colored.
Yeah.
And so if they're white and they have light skin, like, you just, you can't necessarily see it super well in a picture, so you have to do all these, like, things, but
well, you're so savvy.
I spent a lot of time taking creative strange pictures of different kinds of body hair.
So it's so your career is so interesting to me because it seems like you were interested in being involved in the adult industry, and you maybe at first were like, well, I have to shave because I'm, you know, in order to make money. And then when you, but you prefer not to shave.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you feel sexier.
Oh, yeah.
And more confident when you don't shave.
Yeah.
And so then when you were able to find ways to model without shaving, where the specific focus was on you being more yourself, in terms of your persona, that you wanted, that you could have your persona be somebody who didn't shave.
Right.
And then through doing that, you decided that you wanted to represent that world and be in charge of it yourself. And now you're thinking of creative ways to photograph body hair.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think is, what do you love about being unshaven?
Oh, what do I love about it? Well, I'll be honest. My primary reason for it is just pure laziness.
Yeah.
I just, it's hard to even get me to shower or, like, put on mascara, let alone, like, spend hours, like, what, every couple days, removing, like, actually quite a lot of body hair.
Right, because you have very thick, dark
hair. Yeah, especially my, like, legs. Like, my armpits are pretty, like, I'd say, like, slightly above average, but normal. But, especially my pubic area and legs are just crazy. So, mostly it's pure laziness. But that laziness isn't, like, doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's not, oh, I'm just a non-person who's lazy, you know? Like, there's reasons why I'm not invested in that kind of maintenance of myself that are, like, political and personal and rooted in, like, you know, anti-patriarchal analysis and just generally, like, a disinterest in doing what people would like me to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're like, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I like that philosophy.
But myself. I do also, like, you know, it just feels so normal to me that it's hard for me to think about what I do like about it because it just is me.
Yeah.
But what I do like about it is more like what I don't like about shaving, honestly. Like, stubble is inevitable and horrific to me. Like, I tell my clients if they want to go down on me, they have to be clean shaven or have a fully grown out and conditioned and moisturized recently beard.
And those are your clients, so I don't your direct service clients.
I'm talking about my direct service clients, but even like if I sleep with men, any kind of men with facial hair in real life too, like I also like need them to shave. Really recently, because I just can't, I don't want to deal with stubble myself, I don't want to deal with stubble in other people, like, I feel bad sometimes, because I, you know, some people just have stubble sometimes, but I just really find it unpleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if I'm touching, I don't really care about how it looks, but, you know, if I'm rubbing on them or whatever.
Right.
So not having stubble is sexy to me. Whether you're waxed or whether you're fully hairy, just the lack of stubble.
Yeah, and do you like, because, okay, when I talk to I'm like you. I prefer not to shave. I have a political framework for it, absolutely, that has to do with feminism and has to do with anti-materialism. Mm-hmm. But really, it mostly just boils down to the fact that I don't get pleasure from that kind of grooming and self-care and maintenance. So You know, laziness is one way of putting it, but just kind of like priorities and values for right. me. It's like, I don't value like getting in the bath and shaving, but I
value getting in the bath.
So. I value getting in the bath and reading a book, but I don't want to be like, I think when I was younger, I would have said like, oh, well, I don't want to waste my time. I have better things to do. But right. I'm really grateful to the people in my life who either identify as femme or,
totally.
Or who, for whatever reason, prefer the way that they feel when they're really yeah. silky, smooth, and clean shaven. Totally. They like taking a bath and taking the time to care for themselves and groom themselves.
Yeah.
They find it sexy. They like that other people find it sexy. Do you like playing with people who are smooth shaven? So no stubble, got it. But do you right. like playing with people who are smooth?
Clean-shaven? I do, but I think I'm just so many more people that I've slept with or played with are hairy that it's not that I dislike it at all. It's just always a little like, oh, you know, like kind of like surprising because I'm just not that used to it. But I also want to say that like, yeah, I feel similarly to you in that like I don't my political analysis around it is broad, but then also like very much about myself. However, yeah. like I. It's totally at points have found pleasure in different and other kinds of like vain body maintenance, femme, whatever. Like there's yeah. a point where I like one really it was really important to me to have my nails done all the time and grown out. Yeah. And I was constantly maintaining my nails.
Yeah.
But I just liked doing that. Like yeah. it was just pleasing to me. Right. And it was nice when people would notice, like whether they were lovers or not, be like, oh, your nails look so nice, you know?
Yeah.
Or like that's like the only thing I can think of that I could like relate to. Something else because I don't really I mean I brush my hair and stuff but like you know I just don't do anything else like on the regular and I haven't so I totally understand like for some people you know shaving or body hair removal could be that but it's just not for me
yeah
you know it just you know doesn't.
I have to say I actually I like having hairy legs and mm-hmm. for me and I like having hairy armpits, although when they start to, like, breach, if I'm wearing a tank top and my arms are down and you can start to see yeah. them, that's
what for me. This one kind of covers it for some reason, look.
Yeah, look at you.
I don't know why. You can't really see it. No.
It's your tits.
The boobs. The
boobs are in the way. But... I feel like I discovered at a certain point, like, the art of trimming, uh-huh. which had, like, kind of never occurred to me before. I'm, like, an all-or-nothing kind of girl in yeah. general, so I had always thought, like, well, either I just need to, like, not think about it at all, or I need yeah. to be, like, you know, perfect, smooth femme. So I've learned that I like to have them a little bit trimmed.
Mm-hmm.
I also have hairy nipples. And
I used to pluck those. And actually, I think that they've grown in so thick.
Yeah.
Maybe because of that. But you know what's weird is I just got a... So, this is a good example. Like, I just got a weird, like, masochistic pleasure out of plucking them. I didn't actually care if they were gone or not.
Yeah.
I just liked doing it. And now, you know, it's pretty important for, like, my job that I don't do it. And I kind of think they're cool. So now I just, like, I'm like, oh, it's fine. But I did used to love plucking them.
I had a lover who...
was really into epilation play.
He was, yeah, yeah, epilation play. Yeah, yeah. He was,
I know about this.
Particularly with my nipples, we would, like, lay in bed, and he would just get the tweezers out and yeah. pluck them all and took this, like, sort of artistic satisfaction in them being all done.
Fun.
And, yeah, it was fun. It was totally sexy. And, yeah. And I like soft, puffy nipples, so it was mm-hmm. also then, like, my nipples were, like, gumdrop.
Yeah.
Puffy after that but they still are like that with the hair
yeah my now. Nipples are pretty fucking
yeah
I got some puff
going on
yep
so
basically this whole time I'm just flashing my boobs to Tina
if
people didn't notice that was happening
I'm getting a little what are we talking about
me bleeding on my bed no
why are people into puffy nipples but I have to say that I really like having a bald or closely trimmed pussy.
Really?
Yeah. And I find it is more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I do actually enjoy the, like, tactile, sensual feeling of, like, touching myself when there's no hair there. I find that my preference is to have, like, the
top hair.
Yeah, the top hair, exactly. Yeah. On the,
but, like,
on
you
the
like
mound.
To remove around.
Yeah, but I like it, like, on my labia itself to be, like,
yeah,
to be gone. That is...
I think I actually sort of naturally have... I could just flash everything except I'm, like, super bloody right now, so I won't.
I mean, it's not that it's the world of radio.
Doesn't really matter. I just don't feel like dealing with the blood, honestly. But I think I actually do have... naturally, like, just less hair than some people. Like, my hair is pretty thick, like, here and around my legs and everything. But then I think it does kind of naturally... Basically, I'm just a superhero and I'm perfect. But no, I'm not. But I think it just...
You are.
Just
you're
kind
the
of naturally,
hairy girl.
Naturally kind of, like, go away. So it kind of is just naturally absent from, like, around my clit and stuff. And so it don't... Like, yeah. I don't know how it would feel hardly different at all if I didn't have the hair. Because it's already sort of gone from there. I don't know.
Yeah.
But everyone's different, so hair goes different ways, you know?
And I do have to say that I prefer... like, if I'm going down on somebody and I know that that person prefers to be hairy, then I'm, like, totally into the fur in the face.
Totally.
I would say that if I had to choose that I like for people to be more... trimmed when I'm going down on them because, you know, sometimes...
Yeah, hair in the mouth.
Hair in the... You know, flossing and or, like, getting it out of the way.
Yeah,
or,
I'm just so used to, like, you have to, like, part the sea all the time that whether it's myself or other people, I'm just like, this is what you do, you part the sea.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. And then especially, like, I mean, I've hooked up with a lot of trans guys, too, who, like, don't trim or shave anything, and then they're super hairy, and so you're even, like, even more parting the sea.
Right.
You know, so...
Right.
I don't know. Parting the sea is just part of my life. So, I don't know.
Yes, and I guess the takeaway from that is maybe you get used to, I don't want to have to part the sea, but when it becomes something that is sort of a part of your, like, personal lifestyle, then it becomes sexy, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, this is something that's going to happen, and now I'm going to get, like, a mouth on me.
Right.
So, because I'm parting myself, right? So, I guess it's all about perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the point that I'm trying to make, and I feel like a very important point that I make in the essay that I wrote for your Unshaven book, is that, more than any examination of why people are into body hair, why people choose not to shave, why people might be sexually attracted to people who don't shave, I think that the most important thing, and for me the most important feminist point, is that I have no more right to police somebody who chooses to shave than, you know, if I expect people to respect the fact that I don't shave or that I groom in particular ways, then I'm not going to be like, oh, it's gross that you do that. Oh, you're brainwashed by the patriarchy that you do that.
Right.
It's really just all about people being
able... personal freedom and respect for that.
Exactly. And, you know, but the issue with body hair does have to do with the way that, let's just say, in America, you know, women of our generation in particular have been raised for maybe a century. It's so expected that women will be shaven that unless you are a part of a certain subcultures that you and I have been a part of, queer subcultures, you know, anarchist or punk or, you know, various other kinds of underground subcultures or politically radical folks, that people are surprised that you're a female who doesn't shave. In many cases, people are confused. In many cases, people are hostile. In many cases, people are disgusted. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they have some explanation for why they're disgusted, and sometimes they're like, it's just disgusting, and everybody knows that. So yeah, I think it's safe to say that in America, you know, being unshaven, it's sort of like being queer. It's like you have to understand yourself as different from... Yeah.
Like confrontation is projected upon you whether you're seeking it.
Yeah.
Or not. At least in, you know, in, to varying degrees depending on your situations.
But. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Have you had experiences where... Have you ever had an experience of hooking up with someone who was surprised or shocked?
But that is because I've existed in these subcultures in an isolationist sense for almost my whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, fucking good for you now.
Which is fine by me.
Yeah.
But certainly, like, you know, in public, though, people comment on it. You know, like, random people.
Yeah, do so people just, like...
More so outside the Bay Area.
Yeah, so people just say shit to you on the street or harass you on the street about it?
Yeah. Both good and bad.
What are some things people say?
I could give lots of examples, but... Oh, random guys will tell me to shave, and then I'll tell them to fuck off. Or we'll have a conversation, or, like, whatever, rather an argument about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why the hell are you telling me what to do with my body? Like, you don't even know me, like... Yeah. Leave, you know, get out of my face.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
and they're like, that's just gross. Like, that. I'm like, I don't fucking care. Like, get out of my face. So that, but also creepy. Well, okay. I get a range of hate it, appreciate it in a respectful way, and then just super creepy into it.
Sure.
So I like most the middle.
Yeah.
Obviously. or silence.
Although it's just like any other kind of unsolicited,
right.
You know, like comments on your body.
Although I'd rather have people honestly be like, oh, I really like your legs are hairy, as opposed to like, I really love your boobs, or like, you're really pretty, because at least it's like, there's some kind of like social commentary to it, or like some kind of thing happening, not just like, boobs, boner, brain, dead, you know?
Right. I mean, it's just like any other kind of... interaction with a stranger on the street, if you really want to show appreciation for a lady, you might say, you look very nice today, and then move on. The problem is the expectation that you should have some sort of response, or that you owe someone some sort, that you owe someone a smile, that you owe someone a thank you, that you owe someone stopping, or anything like that. Right. So
I've had, like... I think the thing that's most obvious is my hairy legs, but it'll be different things. So I've had a number of guys. One time, when I picked up this bed, actually, it was in I picked it up in San Jose off Craigslist, and I was actually wearing a shirt I have that has Naughty Natural on it because I had just like done something where I was wearing it, and the guy that I picked up the bed from was like really nervous to say this to me. You know, had been like helping me load the bed and everything. And then was like, hey, I'm really sorry if this makes you uncomfortable, or, like, I don't want to make you feel weird, but I just think it's really sexy, your legs are hairy, like, I'm not trying to hit on you, I just, like, wanted to, like, let you know that I think it's awesome, and, you know, and then, like, kind of tried to scurry away, basically, because he was, like, embarrassed, he was, like, actually really cute, and then, I mean, not like I was attracted to him, I just thought what he did was sweet. And
It is sweet.
Yeah. And then I was like, you know, you should go to my website. This is my website.
Nice.
But then we left like almost immediately after, because then he's like, what? You know, then he wants to know everything. And I don't really want to sit there and talk to random dudes about my website, but I want to tell them to go to it. And then I leave.
Right. I mean, if he's into your hairy legs, then he should be paying you for a membership to your fucking
exactly.
website.
Exactly. So then, I've had like a number of interactions like that where people are pretty like, pretty respectful and pretty nice. And then I've also just had like, one time, oh my god, I was in Target, and I was just buying whatever, Target shit.
Sure.
And this guy's there with his little kid, and he's like, oh, I like your hairy armpits, and I'm just like, oh, thanks, you know, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you have a hairy pussy too? And he just starts talking super explicitly in front of his kid, the cashier, the lady behind me.
Ugh.
And I'm just like, dude, that's none of your fucking business. Like, leave. And basically start getting into this with this guy. No one's intervening, of course. He looked high as fuck. Like, I don't know what that was about. But I was
that, man.
So that was fucked up. But luckily, they've been not... That was, like, the most explicit, like... thing. Mostly people are kind of just like, oh, I like your legs. Or one time I was walking to go do Cafe Come and Glitter at El Rio.
Yeah.
Down whatever street it's on. in the mission, and I was wearing heels and, like, short shorts. Yeah. So when you wear heels, people look at your legs more, you know?
That is true.
As opposed to usually I'm just wearing, like, boots or, like, hippie adventure sandals or something.
Right, and I think that for some people there is a contrast between something that has some sort of feminine demarcation, like heels or short shorts, and hairy legs, which people see as, like, masculine, what? Which is obviously...
Yeah.
A purely social construct because we're not augmenting ourselves to have hair. We naturally grow hair the same way that people of all genders actually grow various kinds of hair. But people do perceive some sort of dissonance. Contrast. Exactly. So also people look at your legs more because you're wearing heels.
Yeah.
And short shorts. Because you're asking for it.
Exactly, of course. I know. And so I got two different comments. I got the first, I think the first one was positive. Oh, no, the first, the guy was like, I like your shoes. And he, I think, was actually a foot fetishist.
Hmm.
But he was pretty not creepy. He kind of just had, like, a normal conversation with me about my shoes.
Yeah.
And that how he liked my legs, and it was unusual, and he appreciated it. But he really didn't, like, linger and, like...
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, yeah, I wish my girlfriend wouldn't shave, and, like, your shoes are awesome, and... It was actually a totally fine conversation. I was, like, kind of like, cool, that was nice and not creepy.
It is interesting, like, that it seems like people feel like they can talk to you about your body because you something unexpected or unusual.
But honestly, people do that to just female body people in general. You have a tattoo, they talk to you, you know, just all kinds of, which I don't have any tattoos, but I know, you know.
That is absolutely true. That people feel that they
so many have kinds of the things.
Right to touch me and talk to me because of my tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then the second was a couple guys that were, like, walking past me, and they were like, ew, shave that shit. And I turn around, I start walking after them,
yes.
And I'm like, what'd you say? And I'm just, like, kind of fronting, like, I'm gonna fight them or something, which is my MO. And then they eventually were like, he was alone, and I just, like, went away. The girl in heels, like, walking after them, being like, what'd you say to me? But, it's fine.
I feel really bad for them.
Oh, yeah.
Can you see it in my face?
Yeah. So that was a funny, that was, like, two blocks, you know, or, like, three. That was, like, so I had, like, these opposing.
In San Francisco,
these, like, opposing things. So anyways, yes, I have lots of stories, obviously.
Yeah. Well.
But it's not constant here.
No, I would imagine it's just occasional. Not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you, your clients, your direct service clients, all of your ads and your social media presence is all kind of all centered around your hair.
Yep.
And that's, like, your brand. So it seems like you get a lot of clients who are specifically looking for a hairy provider.
Yeah.
But do you ever get clients who are confused or want to have conversations or anything like that about your hair?
Yeah, I mean, almost all of them talk to me about it in some regard. One nice thing about doing direct service stuff, and even running my site, too, because, you know, I interact with the members a lot, and they're, like, often, like, tons of crossover or, like, people who would be my client, like, direct service clients if they live somewhere else or... things like that. So they're not super separate groups of people. And a lot of men of varying ages have a much more nonchalant and what I think reasonable view about body hair than you would kind of, like, guess from, like, what society tells you. Like, people who aren't necessarily hair fetishist, but they just kind of appreciate someone just being sort of how they want to be, and they just kind of have, like, a preference for more, like, natural bodies, but they don't necessarily, like, idolize it or fetishize it or aren't necessarily looking for someone with an exceptional amount of body hair.
Yeah.
They just sort of want someone, they just kind of prefer, it's just, like, their preference and they don't, it's not, or it's not, maybe not even totally their preference, but they're just, they think I'm pretty and they just don't really care either way. Yeah. They just kind of are like, oh, you're pretty and, everyone tells me they don't like stubble. That's a constant thing, you know, funny. But I've had plenty of clients be like, you know, if you were waxed, like, I wouldn't really care about that either, you know, like, you're just cool and pretty and hot and awesome, and, like, I just want someone who's, like, comfortable with themselves and, like, into having sex with me, you know, and fun and whatever, you know, all the other things.
You are all those things.
Thank you.
So that's really interesting. It seems like, so some of your clients and the members of your site as a cross section or a sample pool of people who are attracted to hairy women. Sometimes they are hair fetishists.
Many of them, and this isn't to say that's like a good amount, aren't extreme hair fetishists where they want to live inside your armpit.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
They just want, they're just losing their goddamn minds, just having their face in your armpit for 20 minutes while you jerk them off, you know, that's all they want or something. Or they don't want to see 10 close-up pictures of one little tiny hair on a nipple, you know, where it's just it's all about the hair. And certainly the models I have that are extra hairy, do extremely well on the website, as I was just talking to you about this one model in particular. But where was I going with this? So yeah, but it ranges from extreme hair fetishes to people who maybe just have a preference for body hair.
Yeah.
Or maybe don't even have a preference for body hair. Or just don't have a preference at all. But I've had quite a few people tell me a lot of what they appreciate on my website is just the authenticity.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a weird word, but just one, the fact that I run it. And I seem really engaged and
you're very transparent.
I'm very transparent about how everything works and how everything functions. And
yeah, one glance at your website and it's very clear how the content is produced.
Yeah.
And it's not, I'm sure there are some sites that try to market authenticity. Mm-hmm. But I feel maybe I'm just a savvy consumer, but I feel like I can fucking tell the difference.
Yeah.
But I want just one glance at your site and it's really clear that it's you. You're a talented photographer with great equipment and you have a high production value on a sort of indie DIY budget.
Yeah.
and that you take pictures of yourself and your friends, all of whom are sort of part of a subculture.
Yeah.
So it seems like sometimes some people are hair fetishists and some people are attracted to hairy women because there's this association of iconoclasm and mm-hmm. association of, they can sort of project a fantasy of a certain kind of girl, a certain kind of personality, a certain, maybe a certain kind of intelligence or certain kind of political mm-hmm. leaning.
Totally.
Or just individualism. I'm fascinated by the idea that the idea of marketing, authentic individualism as porn, as a sexual, as something that people would be sexually attracted to, because I think that a lot of the perception of the sex industry is about superficiality and phoniness and women
and fantasy in a way, which is fine.
I mean, also the idea that the women on your site, are the models on your site are performing a certain kind of fantasy that's sort of your brand is this almost woodland fairy goddess thing going on, which is do really well.
Thank you. Well, the thing is, it's all relatively based in reality, and it varies model to model.
Yeah.
You know, some models are this is crazy that I'm wearing this flowy hippie dress. I literally have never worn anything like this ever in my life.
Yeah.
And some people show up, this one model, with no shoes on.
Yeah.
To my house in West Oakland. with her hair, I don't think she had showered in weeks and weeks. And she was covered in bruises and scratches from going on a bike trip and camping. Was wearing didn't really have any clothes with her, just scarves, and was wearing a, this was a, this person was amazing, and was wearing, like, a tunic thing and was very small, and I kept saying looked like, Hobby from Harry Potter, like a very pretty Hobby. You know what I'm talking about? The little house gnome?
I don't know that much about Harry Potter, but I'm
she looked,
an anomaly.
She looked like she was wearing, like, she looked like a, she was in a gnome costume.
Yeah.
Basically, with no shoes on. So that's, like...
Harry Potter reference aside, I can envision this person.
And when we went to the woods, she certainly, like, just got lost in her own world, and I, like, just ran around her taking pictures. So it goes from, you know, there's a wide variety. Some people, it's like, I'm even toning it down.
Yeah.
And then some people, I'm bringing it up. And most people, it's some kind of mixture. Yeah. For sure. And even myself, like, you know, of course, the site is still fantasy, and, you know, I'm, like, a businesswoman, really.
Fuck yeah.
I'm like, a post-anarchist, or maybe not exactly post, but whatever. Post-activist, I suppose. Like, businesswoman who lives in a city. Like, clearly I'm not actually just masturbating all day in the woods. However, I love to masturbate all day in the woods. So that's, like, the thing that's important to me is, like,
masturbate in the woods?
Yes.
Yeah.
But most of the time now I videotape it, you know, because... content, but I do love fucking in the woods, and I do that all the time without videotaping it.
That's great to know.
But the important part to me isn't that, like, everything on the site is, like, some, like, you know, whatever, picture by picture, like, totally real representation, but that it's, like, a heightened version of something that someone really is into, or a heightened version of some aspect of someone, you know? So I try to, like, talk to models about what they're into, both in terms of how they masturbate and sexually and everything, and how they want to present themselves,
yeah.
And then try to, like, take whatever I think fits the site best out of all that, and kind of just heighten that aspect. That makes
it's
sense.
Interesting what so you it's, just it, said about yeah. No, go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
Well, it's interesting what you said about the fact that you live in a city, you know, and that so much of your site is, you know, takes place not, like, on a set that is made to look like the forest, but actually, like, you know,
yeah.
Actually outside, actually on a hike, actually, like, with waves
hippie
crashing
adventure porn.
Over.
That's what we call it,
hippie adventure porn.
Yeah.
It's true, and, you know, there's, like, actual dirt on the bottom of people's feet,
yeah,
and they're wearing their sweaty clothes, and,
Their gnome tunics, or whatever.
Yeah, their gnome tunics. Gnometunics.com.
There's a shoot of her in it, because, you know, you can see it soon.
Yeah, what is her name?
Oh, she's not up yet. Okay. Fuck, I can't remember her name right now. I'll tell you later.
Yeah, well...
She's
well,
awesome. Oh, Clover. But she's. I won't update with her for a few months.
But also, people should just go to your website and check it out, because yeah. It's fucking awesome. And very affordable.
Thanks.
But a deal at twice the price. But anyway... It's interesting that the idea of hairy women would be associated with the outdoors, you know, because mm-hmm. obviously you and I both live in cities and we are
yeah.
hairy women, and, you know, I also like to have sex in the dirt in the forest and to do other things besides sex.
Right. Just like hang out, exist, like read books, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Go swimming.
Yeah. Yeah, watch movies on my laptop. What? No.
I've done it in the woods actually when I lived in Santa Cruz.
Nice.
In my squats.
it's this interesting association of this phrase. Spirited, outdoorsy, hippie, you know, dare I say, sort of like the, like, Burning Man chic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that you're definitely, like, more OG than that, that's sort of that I'm thinking of a little bit more of, like, an archetype.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
interesting
no,
that hair is associated with that.
Yeah. I mean, it is associated with that, but I've also, just for myself, like, decided to even heighten that outdoorsy adventure, hippie adventure time aspect, because most of the other hairy sites They just have hairy girls, like, in a hotel room.
Right.
Partially because they, you know, they're profit-driven. I mean, I'm profit-driven as well, but they're more profit-driven, and so however they can cut costs, which, by not driving out into the woods and having to watch, have a lookout and deal with weather, you know, by not doing all those things, you save money, obviously.
Well, it's such
and
a,
time.
It's such a great aesthetic of your site. Yeah, it's fun, and I think shows in your pictures. And
the models are excited, too. How often do they get to do a shoot where they go in the woods?
Yeah, you know? And the it creates a great environment when you're looking at the site. You know, so often when you're looking at porn, you are looking at people inside. You're looking at people who are not lit with natural light.
Yeah, I'm a natural light fanatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not that easy to shoot with natural light.
No, it's very difficult. And I, of course, you know, I sometimes have a PA, like a friend, to be a production assistant and, like, hold a reflector or something. But mostly I do it by myself just to save money and stuff. And
yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, it's a struggle. You're constantly moving around. You're constantly having to adjust things. It's, like, it's not like setting up studio lighting, which I can do. I just don't really like how it looks anymore. And then you just ping, bang, 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 bang. That's how you can do so many sets in one day. And so it's just slower. It's slow porn.
It's slow porn.
It is, actually. I mean, the way I shoot, it's slow paced, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, that's perfect, because slow. Then it's, like, local.
It's locally sourced. Locally produced slow porn. Yeah.
It's like the crock pot of porn. There's also an element of exhibitionism as well. You know, I have to say, like, when I look at the set sometimes, like, I feel like I get a little bit of a thrill from imagining, especially since I know some, I can recognize some of the places that you guys are, because I'm also from Northern California, so I'm imagining you guys, like, quickly, like, stealing a shoot, you know, and then, somebody's
right.
coming in.
Which happens all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, and you sometimes take advantage of that in some of the scenes in the videos that you have, right, where it's like someone stumbles upon someone masturbating in the
right.
woods.
No, it's always like a, I always want to make sure the model's comfortable, so it's always like a push and a pull between, like, how much do I just film, how much are we pushing this?
Right.
Not, like, pushing the model, but just, like, how much do I film through stuff? How much do I, you know, stop and make sure everyone's okay? And usually I try to suss that out before, so I, like, have a gauge. Because some models, when I send some models, like, actually really hung up about people stumbling upon us, I usually say, let's just shoot not somewhere public.
Right.
But mostly the models are extremely don't give a fuck, and it's really awesome. Like, they just are like, I don't care that dude's, like, following us around, like, 50 feet away, like, whatever, let's just do this. That's is awesome. Cool. And they're, like, cracking up, you know, so.
You should, yeah.
They're pretty great people.
Again, like, with the harassers, you should turn around and be like, if you like what you see, you should visit naughtynatural.com.
I know. I wanted to do that, but then that particular instance was at a place that I go to pretty frequently, and so I don't want people who are in that town, which I'm sure this guy lives in that town, because he followed me twice now.
Yeah.
I don't want the people in the town to know what my website is, because then they'll go on it and see that I've shot there, like, everything there.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say what that town is, because I don't want to be found out.
Well, I'm not going to give any of your secrets away.
Don't give my secrets away.
But no, you know, what I was saying was that your scenarios, like the fantasy scenarios of your scenes, where you have the setups that you have, or don't you have one where it's like, you have like, you and somebody hooking up, and then two other people.
Oh yeah,
like
that
also
was
on
that
a
was in
hike.
Santa Cruz.
Yeah, that's
well, I know that you knew
me.
That, but yeah, and that was really awesome. And in that scene, actually, we went to an area of the woods I was pretty familiar with, and there's just mountain bike trails, and you know, cutting through the entire forest. But the redwoods are pretty dense.
Yeah.
So you couldn't really, and we were on the ground. So if they had seen anyone, all they would have seen was someone like holding a camera, maybe, or something. Or the people hiding behind the tree, like, peeking, because that was, like, their job. Ava Solanas and Felix Weatherwood. And, but, like, the whole time we could hear mountain bike, you know.
That's
so, like,
cute.
They definitely were.
It's like the round. California.
You can always get caught.
That's hot.
That's a new site. You can always get caught. Or I can make, like, a feature, like, a series called You Can Always Get Caught. It's just, like, all different public stuff.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, maybe
I
it
like
is.
That. Yeah. You heard it here first, folks. Well, let's talk about your members, because you yes. also get the opportunity to
talk to them a lot,
to talk to them and interact with them and, yeah. and meet them. And so, and you were talking about, armpit smothering, mm-hmm. Which seems like you were talking about people wanting to like live in people's armpits. So it seems like with that, there has to do with not only an element of the visual aesthetic of hairy bodies, and not even just the tactile sensation of hairy bodies, but also the smell.
Oh yeah, the smell.
Yeah. So what's the deal with you know, again talking about this whole like archetype of the anti-materialist hippies. So what's the deal with are hairy girls smellier yes. than your average yes. girl?
I mean, the hair, it holds smells.
Yeah.
Yeah, for yeah. sure.
Yeah. So especially in the armpits and the crotch.
Especially in the arm. Yeah, the legs. I mean, why would your middle of your calf smell? That'd be kind of concerning, I think. But maybe like the sweaty, like under knee, but like, you know.
Right.
Anyways. Maybe only if you're like working out really hard and like spandex, your like calves would sweat, but
I think that's a Tumblr.
Yeah. Sweaty calves and spandex.
Yep.
But yeah, as far, yeah, many, I wish I could make a scratch and sniff, website, like, what is it? Pink Flamingos has scratch and sniff?
Yeah.
Or supposedly
Odorama? What is it?
Something. Is it Pink Flamingos?
Smell-o-vision.
Yeah. So I wish that I could have that, which I could, but it would be like a chemically manufactured smell. Like, I don't think I could really bottle the armpit smell. So, it wouldn't really
Somebody
be.
Somebody needs to get on that.
I know. Many people have said they want to live in whatever. Just obsessive things about
What's
smell.
Funny, because you can like buy fancy like flashlights like, where you can like fuck Stoya's pussy, you know, like a right. mold of Stoya's pussy, but you can't like buy Nikki Silver's armpit smell.
I mean, I think I would need to find like a because I don't know if you could really like capture the actual smell. I might need to find like an expert perfumist who could like
yeah.
create it
yeah, yeah
in the
yeah.
way that they create like specific smells or something. But I've had like, you know, I've had like in-person clients be like, I'm never gonna fucking take a shower because I have your smell all over me, or like I'm gonna put this shirt in like a plastic bag and keep it forever, or like just different, just laying there just with my armpits in their face, just smelling, breathing, like they're go off and like they look like they're like gonna pass out because they're like so high on it. And it's pretty crazy. And personally, I really like people's body odor a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, not if it's super old and nasty, but you know, it takes a little while and like never washing your clothes and things like that, but as long as it's like relatively fresh,
there's totally an overvaluing of like sterilized neutral
yeah.
non-smell again in American culture, the way that we're centralized and mainstream something and
yeah.
etc. There's an overemphasis on eliminating all odor, so that if you can smell someone at all, it's, you know, it's unprofessional, or it's gross, or it's unsexy, you know. And then, of course, we've all smelled someone who has a serious foul body odor problem, but
right.
then in between those two things, there is a world of smell-o-vision
right.
that is, you know, and there, you know, pheromones are a thing, and,
yeah.
You know, just, again, it seems like it would be kind of associated with the iconoclasm, like, oh, I do what I want, like, I'm not where, I don't smell like the mall, I,
yeah.
you know, I am, I just got off my bicycle, and I am, you know, wearing used clothes, and
yeah,
that is, you know.
I'm also kind of terrible at washing my clothes, like, I should do it more, but I don't wash them very much.
I mean,
but no one cares.
Yeah, you seem to be doing just
no
fine.
One fucking cares.
Yeah.
I was talking to, I think, a client even last night, actually, and I was like, there's literally, like, other people are like, oh, I have to wear deodorant because I have to go to my job. Like, maybe they don't have a personal preference for it, but they're like, I have to, like, be
yeah.
considerate to people and not smell, right?
Right.
And I'm just, like, there really is no, because my job is to smell,
right.
there is no occasion on which I need to not smell. The only occasion was if would be if I was a more considerate person, like, when I went to the dentist or something. But I'm like, I'm paying you, like...
Word.
You know, like, when I'm like, there's really nothing. Maybe if I had to go to court, like, something where me seeming, like, more normative or respectable was, like, something that would actually be useful or helpful to me. But, like...
Right.
Other than that, there's really no occasion. So, yeah, I never wear deodorant or anything. But you know what's sad? My partner can't smell.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah. He got in a bike accident and he can't smell. And apparently he used to really like people's smells before, so he probably would really like my smell. And he can't smell me.
I mean, he's probably doing okay.
He's
fine. So he can't taste either.
He kind of can taste.
Yeah.
But it's different.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Why do you think... I mean, it's sad and interesting.
I know. It's not, like, tragic. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. You've got plenty of people appreciating
your smell. I do.
For sure. I love that you've woven your toes together. Why do you think that smell is so associated with perverts? Like, you know when...
Is it really?
Oh, think about, like...
I'm just like, I don't even know.
Like, when I tell... Like, okay. Like, I like the smell of, like, underwear that has been worn by people who I like.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. And there's something so pervy about it. You know, it's like, if I say that to people, people are like, oh, that's so pervy, you know, or, like, someone will tease me, oh, you want my underwear, or, like, on your face, and I wonder why that scent, or, I mean, that sense,
yeah,
more than other senses, is so, I think, so charged and associated with perversion.
I think it's because, it's just, I'm for some reason, I guess I talked to my client a lot last night about all different things, so things keep reminding me. He's kept talking about how he really wanted, like, more primal interactions and how he had, like, primal sex. And that word's kind of weird, but I think that's kind of the reason, like...
Yeah.
It's,
I mean, that's what a lot of this stuff is about.
We use all our other senses for all these other things. Like, we look at stuff and we have this whole society, this whole, like, capitalism, everything is, like, you know, we use our sense of sight to, like... make money or to, like, take care of our kids or, like, whatever, you know.
Yeah, not get hit by cars.
Yeah, just all kinds of things. And the same with, like, listening and, you know, really anything. But I would say the same thing for taste. If you talk about how much you like the taste of something, that's also seen as really pervy.
Yeah.
Senses, that, or even, like, the feeling. Like, sight and vision are, like, seen
valued.
As valued really highly and seen as, like, more practical and normal and, like, how things feel. And then especially, like, taste and smell is, like... It's this much more basic thing. Also, it's very difficult to describe how things smell.
That's
whereas
true.
When you look at something with someone, as long as both of your visions are, like, relatively, like, what's considered normal, like, you'll see roughly the same thing. It's kind of been proven that that is the case, you know?
Sure.
Whereas smell, it's like everyone has different associations. It's super emotional.
That's true.
It's all these different things.
Memory, right.
Yeah.
It's kind of more like music.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that it's sort of abstract. Yeah,
yeah, it's abstract.
You can't describe it as much.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do your clients love about body hair?
What else do they...
Sorry. There goes that ring.
Apparently I'm a child. I can't sit still.
You're doing great.
So, what else do they love about body hair? Okay, the smell is a big thing, and the hair traps the smell. And then there's so many other things, like... as you've been saying, the association with, like, subcultures.
Yeah.
And just different kinds of alternative situations people love. And with that association comes, like, and it is a projection in a way, but it's a projection that I do actually embody for real. So it works for me, and I appreciate
right,
it.
It's not...
Of just me being, like, free-spirited, basically.
Right.
And not having the same kind of hang-ups as someone would who is shaven. Which is clearly, like, not always the case. Like, plenty of shaven people are also free-spirited people. However, the hair
correct.
Makes them have the association.
Right, right. And in your case, that association is genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just a Halloween costume.
No.
And
also I have lots of clients who, I would say most of my clients are quite old.
Yeah.
There's certainly young men, too. And the young men have more of the subcultural situation happening. Like my client last night used to be a punk. He was like, now he's like a fucking, in marketing or something. But he's like, oh, I used to be a punk. And like, it reminds me of like this and that. And
Before
I sold out. And then for the older guys, it's like, you know, it wasn't nearly as common for people to shave.
Right.
And so a lot of their earliest sexual experiences were with women who didn't shave.
Right.
And then rather quickly, shaving did become more prevalent. Like once they were with their wife for like 5 years, then, oh my God, everyone's starting to shave now.
Right.
Or whatever length of time it was. And so now they've gone years and years without it when their basic first sexual awakening that kind of formed their whole basis of sexuality was about unshaven.
Right. So it's kind of like stockings. Or, you know, yeah.
Yeah, any of those kind of, like, throwback.
Yeah.
Throwback stuff. It's, like, it reminds them of, like, their first sexual awakening. And they're, like, and they're just till their grave, they probably will just, you know, that will be what sex is to them. It's, like, hairy pussy. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That makes complete sense.
So.
I also sometimes when I get unsolicited comments about, particularly my hairy armpits, I haven't gotten people say, like, making jokes about, like, are you European? Which I find it really weird. I mean, I guess it's more prevalent in Europe for women
I don't know if that's actually true. If they're Americans saying that, I would say bullshit.
Yeah, if they're European,
then I would say maybe you know better than me. But
yeah.
I have tons of European clients and members. And they all say that it's, like, totally changed. America's just influenced the fucking world.
Western
countries.
I think it's, like, this kind of
and probably
of
some not Western countries, too, but, you know, particularly Western countries.
I think it's, like an outdated stereotype of French women with hairy armpits.
It is. I think many of my members would be a lot, they would be a lot happier if it wasn't outdated, I think it is. That's the reports I get.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Nikki Silver, you are a role model, and I love talking to you about this subject. I'm really glad we're collaborating.
I know
on
we're
this
gonna have a book out
amazing
with
book.
Both our hairy contributions,
yeah,
in various ways.
Our hairy minds,
yeah, hairy minds are going to come together and create something that you should buy.
Yeah, absolutely.
People in the world.
So the book is coming out in June of 2015. It's called Unshaven. It's coming out from 3L Media. Naughtynatural.com. There's no S. It's not plural. It's just this sort of.
Yeah, it was a makeup company.
Naughty Naturals was?
Yeah, and then I tried to get a sponsorship with them, and then they never wrote me back, as most things that I try to get sponsorships with. And now they don't exist. And I tried to buy it, and I can't.
Motherfuckers.
Isn't that fucked up?
Anyways. And you are X Nikki Silver X.
Yeah, Twitter.
So that's, can you spell it?
Sure. XNIKKISILVERX.
Sweet.
For the Twitter.
And anywhere else online or anything else that you want
to I mean, I have a few random things, but I think that's good enough. Once you go to my Twitter, like, there's contact information for me. There's contact information on the site. You know, I have, like, an escort page and a photographer portfolio and stuff. But, you know, the Twitter is a good place to just figure out different things.
That's fabulous.
Or the website.
And everyone should go visit them. And I guess before we close, do you have any thoughts on, like a kinky humiliation scene of, like, a hairy girl being, like, forced to shave or something?
Well, okay, I think Bianca may have done that scene already.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
which actually
I'm thinking
I want,
of it.
I want to
Bianca
see
Stone.
It.
Bianca Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you have thought, like, is that, do you find that to be, like, scary in a neurotic way, or
for myself, or
for you?
Well, I'm not very submissive.
Yeah.
So there isn't much in that realm that is appealing to me, like, as far as, like, me.
Are you sadistic though?
Yes.
Yeah. Would you get off on, of course, consensually, uh-huh, within the context of consent,
shaving someone?
Would you get off on shaving someone?
I think I could.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I could, yeah, depending on the circumstance and everything. Yeah, I like people being restrained, so I think especially if they were, like, restrained.
Yeah.
And then they couldn't move and stuff, and they had to, like, be, like, really still so I didn't cut them. And, yeah. Like, I am kind of, like, I also, sorry, I'm going to tell you about all my weird personal things.
Please.
I also have a really huge needle phobia, and just, like, cutting of any kind freaks me the fuck out.
Like, skin breaking.
So, when you say these things, it kind of freaks me out because I think of, like, the potential for, you know, like, cuts happening, which kind of just, I don't know, I just have this thing about it. Where it freaks me out really edgy. Bad. Yeah.
I'm imagining like an old-fashioned, like, Sweeney Todd, like, straight razor shaving.
Yeah. I don't know if I could be sadistic in that way. Like, I'm happy, I'm, like, stoked about, like, inflicting pain of different kinds and things like that. But, like, yeah, basically, in my mind, it, like, almost it goes to, like, knife play. And just, like, the sight of blood basically makes me pass out. Like, I just can't handle any of it, so...
Well, that's probably not the thing I'm gonna do. Out.
Oh yeah, it's real easy to freak me out. Yeah, it's not hard.
Well, we've learned so much about you today.
Yeah, but you know what I would think would be more fun because it would cause pain.
Yeah,
waxing someone.
Yes,
that would be the thing I would be more excited about doing. Would be waxing someone because there'd be no like, I mean, maybe like little blood, but not like cutting.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And it would cause them pain and be like a. Like, acute, like, that would be fun.
Yeah, I'm imagining, maybe this is just because this is where my pervy mind goes, but I'm imagining, like a slumber party where, hi, yes, we need to go. I'm imagining, a slumber party where there are girls who are humiliating another girl, because, like, shaming her for being hairy.
And then they hold her down and wax her.
And then they hold her down and wax her.
Yeah. No, that would be really cool. And then the part two could be, like, the revenge.
Yes, of course.
6 months later, she comes back and she's hairy again. And then she does something else to the girls.
Like,
I'm not sure what, because you can't force people to grow hair, but...
She could tie them up. She could chain them up and make them hairy. And then make them, like, go to the prom hairy.
Yeah. You bondage with your arms above your head?
Yeah, there you go.
So everyone can see your hairy armpits? Yeah. You lead them along. They're tied together and you pull them along.
Make it their Facebook photo. Oh, God. Yeah.
That's great.
Well, listen, I think that we may have
some ideas.
Hairy torture.
Yeah, hairy torture.
.com is.
Well, I am doing the hairy bondage scene like later today or tomorrow for my site.
Oh, that's
the custom.
Oh, that's right.
It's just the girl tied up with the hairy armpits and then the tickling and the licking and the. Stuff. It's not very torture-y. It's more like.
Oh, I guess I would imagine like pulling on the and hair pulling. And
pulling and licking and all different kinds of things. But pulling doesn't exactly hurt. You have to pull like real hard for it to really.
I think you could probably do.
Oh,
some,
you could definitely
some
hurt
damage.
Some.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't want to pull out my hair.
You just want to stroke them. Well, on that note, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
You are welcome.
I think you're fucking fabulous,
thank you.
We'll see more of your hairy. Brain and hairy mind. Really soon.
All right, I love you, chicken.
I love you, chicken.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 22. Future episodes feature Morgana May, Rachel Kramer-Bussell, and Allison Moon. Visit wirepeopleintothat.com to stream every episode and subscribe to our newsletter. You can also subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you like listening to podcasts. Next time on Wire People Into That, T. Pantherella and I talk about why we love putting really big things in people's homes.
I think it's like the stretch and the give.
Yeah.
And the challenge, even if it isn't really a challenge, but like the initial, like the idea.
Even if it's easy, it's still impressive.
Right. Like the idea of like of this moment when you have this implement in your hand, or maybe it's like being kind of, it's on your thigh or your belly, or you're touching it on someone else's body and you can feel it. Mm-hmm. You can feel its girth. You can feel the weight. And then that immediate moment of it kind of pushing past and in, something about it is just like everything for me.
Yeah.
I statements.
Well, you're like making it disappear.
Yeah. Like you're just kind of containing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're containing it. And even with like, I feel like for my body, like even with the largest implements and body parts that I've ever like had inside of my body, at some point, even when it's really intense, it does, your body kind of absorbs it.
Yeah, so,
and warms it and takes it.
Oh, God. Yes.
I know.
As always, Why Are People Into That is produced and hosted by yours truly, Tina Horn. Until next time, I'll have my nose blissfully buried in somebody's armpit hair.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.